I'm Aaron Pednotti, and today I'm interviewing Adam Tinkle, the director of Skidmore College's Documentary Studies Program, also known as MDocs, about an upcoming film screening that MDocs will be hosting at Skidmore on Wednesday of this week. Adam, thanks very much for coming on the show today. It's good to be talking with you.
Thanks so much for having me, Aaron. It's great to be talking about this screening.
So first, can you tell us about the film? What's its title, director, and topic?
So the film is called Milford Graves' Full Mantis, and it is co-directed by Jake Maginski and Neil Young. No, not that Neil Young. Both Jake and Neil are from Massachusetts, and Jake was a student of the drummer, percussionist, and musical philosopher Milford Graves when Graves was faculty at Bennington College, where he taught from the late 1960s into the 2000s. And it's a feature film documentary portrait of the musical work and the philosophical thought and a number of sort of adjacent areas of experimentation and practice that Milford Graves has devoted his life to. And the screening is both part of a series that I've put together called Cosmic Tones, Mapping the Musical Multiverse in Documentary, as well as part of the Tang's experimental film programming, which is called Whole Grain series, put together by Tom Yoshikami over at the Tang.
So this sounds like a film that has both sonic and political resonances. Can you talk about some of the latter?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing to say about Milford Graves is that he's been a really important figure in free improvised music since the 1960s, since the beginnings of what was then known as free jazz. And I think a lot of people associate Milford Graves' style with those early days of free jazz. Now, in the early 1960s, when free jazz is first starting to happen, it's hugely associated with the more radical edge of the civil rights movement and with a more uncompromising stance of self-assertion in the Black community to determine its own aesthetics and to create music that wasn't just meant for the easy listening of a mass audience, a white audience. And so this uncompromising music, which started to come through in New York City, especially starting in the very end of the 1950s with people like Cecil Taylor and Ornette Coleman, it was heard initially by a lot of people as basically being the sound of Black power and of a harder, more uncompromising stance in Black politics, in part because the music oftentimes eschews traditional song forms. It oftentimes features more extremes of volume, of timbre, of structure than people were used to hearing from jazz, which had by the end of the 50s become very widely accepted popular music and a space of racial integration. So free jazz was initially heard as, in some cases, angry and certainly as fiercely independent in the 1960s. And it's easy to hear Milford Graves' work and his subsequent career as being really made possible by the fierce independence and uncompromising stance, both aesthetically and politically, that was sort of incubated in those years. The other thing that's really important about Milford Graves is he's a legendary educator. I mentioned that he taught at Bennington for many decades in a program that was called the Black Music Program. So they actually formed a new department of music sort of off to the side of the music department in which Western art music was being taught that was called the Black Music Department. That was in the later 60s in resonance with the changes in American colleges and universities to reflect the importance of taking Black voices seriously and making a space or locating a space within colleges and universities for radical Black thought. And so Milford Graves' musical thought was majorly a part of that at Bennington, and he trained many musicians and percussionists over those decades, of which director Jake Maginski is one. But there are so many drummers and percussionists and musicians all over the world who came to Bennington to study with Graves. Another really interesting thing about Graves is that sort of spirit of self-determination that he brought to his music. He's brought to so many other areas of his life practice, and the film sort of focuses on the integration of those varied life practices. So he started as a drummer and percussionist, but he began to integrate Chinese medicine, martial arts, and ultimately the analytical and scientific study of human heartbeats into his musical, sonic, spiritual philosophy and practices of sort of care. So like playing music is as a caring, healing practice, martial arts and herbal medicine as sort of adjacent practices. So if you're interested in those kinds of integrated practices of wellness and healing, you should definitely check out this film, as well as checking out the rest of the Cosmic Tone series, because that's been sort of a thread that's run throughout all of this programming.
And I understand that you have the trailer to the film available, so why don't we listen to that right now?
We're taught about measures, you know, we're talking about pulse beats. All right, so we can count 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. So I've known some people say, well, you know, the best way to plan temples is to get a metronome. Oh, my gracious. And forget about atomic clocks now. Too exact. But you know what? The body, the heart doesn't have the same time length, you understand, between each contraction and relaxation of the heartbeat. Bop, boom. And the next bop, boom. If they are the same, that is extremely dangerous. And that's what they were missing before. They weren't counting the time difference between there. So if the doctor heard that, and everything seemed to be clean, the more exact the time measures, the more dangerous it is. In other words, if you felt your pulse rate at your wrist or any other place other than listen to your heart, you're going to hear that, boop, 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 they should be different. That's a healthy heartbeat. They can call that the chaos heartbeat. They can call that heart rate variability. That means the rate constantly varies. And all that people have to do is feel their pulse, and all of a sudden they count. They'll notice they're counting slow at one point, then they count a little faster. That's great. But if you count like a metronome and everything's like bop, 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 just like the second hand, that is extremely dangerous. That means your body is not responding. It must respond. You cannot walk across the street in military march, you know, on the beat per second on a major highway. Let's put it on a major highway where traffic is coming. If no traffic coming, you can march with equal steps. But when you see big trucks coming, fast cars coming, you'll be moving all over the place. Your tempo's gonna start to change. Well, see, that's what the body expects. The body doesn't expect you to go and train in a very metronomic way. So what makes a person being able to swing, person not being able to swing? You mean, I got a lot of compliments from a lot of those older guys, man. And I said, you know, man, I'm not playing your typical dang, 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 dang. But they heard it. There was dang, it was all in there, man. They heard it, man. I said, swing, man. You know, swing, man, is getting you to move from one point to another point. It's putting life into you. You can't put a dang, dang, dang and call that the swing rhythm. Swing is means, man, when you can feel, man, like, hey, man, I want to live to the next day.
So some of what you were saying about heartbeats and the physicality of music, that's definitely coming through there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Graves has, I think, so much wisdom to offer about what the physical effects of sound are and what the connections are between music, which we think of oftentimes as sort of like a frilly and perhaps unnecessary part of life, but the connections between music and sound with like what's really deep, important, central, and absolutely structural to both human being and to the sort of being of the world. So I find it really exciting to hear him talk and absolutely to hear him play. He's a stunning musician, and the film is laced with these really transcendent performances.
Okay, last question. If people want to attend this screening, when and where will it be playing at Skidmore on Wednesday?
6 p.m. Tang Teaching Museum in the Summer Screening Room, which is the movie theater inside the Tang Museum. So come down to Skidmore College at 6 p.m. and enjoy this 80-minute film, as well as a Q&A with the director to follow.
Well, thanks again for this interview, Adam. It sounds like a tremendous film, and I totally recommend that anybody in our audience who's interested go and see it.
Thanks for having me.